If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Broadly, for sure.
I feel pretty crazy. I think it kicked us out of YouTube. I've never seen it happen before. I think it kicked us out of YouTube and LinkedIn and restarted. So I'm going to do a quick recap for those, for everybody on YouTube and LinkedIn to be caught up to speed. That's actually crazy. I've never seen StreamYard do that before. Anyway, technology is going to do what technology does. So for everybody that's on YouTube and LinkedIn, happy that y'all are here. I'm interviewing someone who went from a car salesman to a data analyst. Now, to be clear, he technically was working at a semiconductor company in between. It's just when it comes to the thumbnail and the title, semiconductor is a long word to put on the thumbnail in full transparency. So I saw that he was a car salesman before. My team member, we just decided to put car salesman on there. So just full transparency, y'all. But that being said, he went from being a car salesman to working in a semiconductor company to doing a tech boot camp, and now he works in the tech industry. And the boot camp that he did, literally, I've interviewed plenty of people before. With our discount link, it's only $449. Links in the bio for those of y'all, in the description for those of y'all that are interested. Just to kind of capture all of that for those of y'all. The program, he specifically did the data analytics program. So he is a data analyst. It took him 2 months to land a job. 2 months, literally like my story, 2 months to land a job. And in a data analyst role, you usually start off anywhere between about $80,000 to a little over $100,000 starting pay. We're talking entry level, y'all. Good money. But then in terms of scaling, you can scale with time to over $250,000 in the data analyst space, data science space, if you want to evolve over into a role like that. And so really amazing space. Hey, Desi, we see you in the comments, see you in the chat. It's a really amazing industry to be in. So we've kind of went over a few pieces of his story. He talked about how essentially he wanted to just make more money and have like a, you know, better work-life balance. And so he ended up doing the tech boot camp course careers. And he mentioned how organized the program is and how his experience within the program. He learned a little bit about AI as it relates to his role as a data analyst. Let me be real, y'all. Learning AI in and of itself is somewhat irrelevant. What matters is you learning AI as it relates to your specific job. That's what matters, because Daniel said this earlier, AI in and of itself is a broad, broad subject matter. It's not a one size fits all subject matter. It's a subject matter that is specific and unique to whatever it is that you are doing in your career, business, or life. So that's where we had recently capped off at before I realized that StreamYard didn't update on YouTube and LinkedIn. But that being said, we're going to go ahead and continue from there. We got a lot of people tuning in, people listening in on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible. Dang. We got a lot of people tuning in right now. So let's go ahead and continue on with the story. Now, you finished the program. You finished it in, it took you 2 months to get a role. When you finished the program, Where was your headspace at? Like, were you having any imposter syndrome? Were you thinking like, man, am I really going to get a job? Were you doubting anything? Where was your headspace at? And what was your interview process like when you started the interview process?
Yeah, so I did initially have some doubts because a lot of people say, oh, the job market's tough, job market's, you know, this and that. But I was just pretty much surprised because, you know, Course Careers teaches you how to set up your resume, set up your LinkedIn. And so just doing that, I was able to get interviews pretty quickly.
That's amazing. And people don't understand, like, if you can explain to people how valuable is having a properly set up LinkedIn and having like that help. I mean, because it's, you know, that's one of the things I love about a program like Course Careers is that they don't just, it's not like college where they just give you the education of college. It's like they help you with your resume. They help you with your, like you said, your LinkedIn. They help you when it comes to your interviewing chops and all of that. How valuable was that assistance for you?
That was gold, you know, gold. You know, LinkedIn is the new, it's pretty much the new resume. That's what I learned from this experience. Yeah. LinkedIn is the new resume, essentially.
Yeah. That's funny. Within my community, we actually did a LinkedIn. I did a LinkedIn review where I was looking at different people in my community's LinkedIn, looking at their LinkedIns, giving them feedback, telling them what to fix. And one of the things that I said, and I got this from a recruiter that was on our podcast, is that LinkedIn is called a living resume. It's like your living, breathing resume. LinkedIn, like you mentioned, LinkedIn really, truly, if y'all don't know this, let me know in the chat if any of you know this or if this is your first time hearing this. LinkedIn technically is replacing the resume. Now, resumes are still going to be a thing because they're a tradition. Nevertheless, most recruiters don't even look at your resume until right before your interview. They will look at your LinkedIn, and then after it's decided they're going to interview you, they'll skim through your resume. I've been in plenty of interviews where I could tell the recruiter's first time looking at my resume was while we were in the interview. So I see you smiled. Did the same thing happened to you, Daniel?
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, man. So yeah, like you mentioned, you said that you were a little worried because everyone was saying, oh, the job market's bad, no one's hiring. Obviously, you got a job in 2 months, I always tell people, The news is going to do what the news is going to do. It's going to highlight the reality that there are people being laid off. There are things that are happening. But the news, it's like social media. It feeds off of negative attention. So it won't highlight a lot of the positives. It'll just say, oh, my God, because people are going to watch longer when it comes to negativity. So they will highlight the companies that are laying off. They'll highlight the companies that are doing layoffs. They don't highlight the many companies that are mass hiring. Mm-hmm. What they also don't highlight, they don't highlight when they talk about the layoffs, they don't specify what jobs are being laid off. They don't specify that it's software engineers mainly that are being laid off. But if they were to speak about data analysts, they would probably say the opposite. They say, oh, there's a lot of hiring happening right now for data analysts. So I love that you chose that industry and that route. And when it came to the interview process, so when you were actually in the interviews, because you mentioned how they helped you with your LinkedIn, your resume, your interviewing. What was your experience like while you were actually interviewing?
Yeah. So while I was actually interviewing, honestly, it was easy, you know, because Course Careers, like I said, Course Careers, it actually has people in the field that are teaching it. And so they give you all the insights when it comes to interviewing. So when I actually started interviewing, I was just prepared. I was just, you know, I was just ready, you know.
Yo, I love that. I love that. Also, real quick, I want to let y'all know for everybody who is in, hey, what's up, Timeline Preacher? I see you, bro. I see you in the chat. He actually just started. He just started Course Careers too, so this is perfect timing. Yeah, he's someone I know personally. I've known him for many years, and I know him and his wife. And yeah, he literally hit me up probably, what was it, bro? 2 weeks ago. He texted me 2 weeks ago. We hadn't talked in a couple of years. He hit me up. He's like, hey man, I'm trying to look into this tech industry stuff, whatever, and. You know, after kind of getting a little bit of feedback from him, I was like, hey, bro, just go ahead and do Course Careers. And so this is good for him to tune in and be able to hear your story. So I think it's great. For everybody that has questions that's in the chat on Instagram, make sure you are putting your questions in the designated question area. What you'll need to do is you'll click the drop down that's above my head. And in the drop down, there will be a question section that'll pop up. And then all you need to do is just post your question in that designated question area. That allows for me to guarantee that I'll see your question. But if your question isn't there, it's not promised that I'll see your question, which obviously means I probably won't be able to answer it unless it's a question that we organically answer just through listening to more of Daniel's story. All right, good stuff. All right, so going back to your story, so you mentioned how because of the education, not just the data analyst education, but specifically education when it comes to the job process, getting the job process, that for the most part, it was smooth for you. You were actually probably surprised as to how, kind of like, in my mind, kind of like a karate kid type of thing, where it's like, you know, you learn wax on, wax off, and it's like, okay, how valuable is this really? And then you actually get in the moment and you're like, oh, this actually was incredibly valuable. I'm killing it now.
Yeah,
absolutely. So let's talk about the company that you got the job, that you got the offer for. Let's talk about that moment where you actually received your offer. So one, how did you receive it? Was it an email? Was it a phone call? And two, what was that moment like for you emotionally, like when it actually happened?
So it was a phone call.
Okay.
And I remember when I got the call, I was like, wow, you know, I was, to be honest, even right now, it's still kind of shocking because the investment that I made, obviously you have to put in the work too with that, but with the investment I made and then the results that came from that, it was amazing.
That's super cool. It's like putting like $500 into a slot machine and it's spitting out $100,000 that you get every year. That's so cool. I love that you mentioned the work part though, because it's important for people to realize that, because a lot of people, I do realize that they think doing a boot camp to get in tech, they kind of look at it as like a get rich quick scheme. They're like, oh cool, I actually met someone one time who did the same program. He did Course Careers. He confronted me at a party and he said, hey man, you don't know me, but I saw you talking about Course Careers. He's like, man, I did the program and it didn't work. And I was like, what do you mean it didn't work? He said, I said, you didn't get any offers? He said, well, yeah, I got some offers, but he mentioned they were like for like 50,000. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. And then he did tech sales though. You know, in tech sales, you have OTE, you have like your base and your commission. So I asked him, when he said, yeah, the companies were offering 50,000, 60,000. I said, what was the OTE? And he said to me, he was like, what is that? I don't know what OTE is. And I said to him, and I'm not lying, y'all, even though I didn't know this guy, I said, look, man, we don't know each other, but I'm going to tell you straight up, you are a liar. And he was like, what do you mean? I said, you paid for the program, but you didn't do the program, because the program tells you what OTE is. That's that's common knowledge in tech sales. And then he like dropped his head down and said, yeah, man, I didn't actually pay attention. I thought I could just pay for it and just click through the modules. And I was like, dude, the company that are offering you 50,000, your OTE could have been 85,000, 100,000. But you weren't paying attention. And so, again, y'all, just like we were talking about, like even what Daniel's saying, you have to make sure you're paying attention. You have to do the work. Like, you honestly have to do the work. Not just do the work to get the job, but do the work to make sure once you get the job, you're able to sustain it. You're able to actually perform well. Look, y'all, don't get a life-changing opportunity and fumble it just because you think it's like, okay, it's whatever. It's going to be a breeze. I'm going to kick my feet up. That being said, so the company that you're at, you don't have to speak specifically about the company name or anything like that, but what has your experience been like being in tech? So you got hired at the company. What was your first week like? Were there any perks that they gave you outside of your, obviously your pay? Are you hybrid, remote? Did they give you a laptop? What were the perks that came with it?
Yeah, so of course they gave us a laptop and some other equipment, but if I want to say the biggest perk remote, 100% remote. And man, it's life changing. It's life changing for sure.
And you before you were in the tech industry, you weren't working remote, right?
No, I was stuck at wherever the job was, 8 hours, 12 hours, whatever the shift was. Yeah.
Man. So what has your experience been like working remote? Like, meaning that, because obviously a lot of people want to work remote, but in terms of when you actually got an opportunity to work remote and you've now been experiencing it now for a few months, can you explain to the people in the chat who don't work remote in tech, can you explain like what it's like in comparison to working traditional jobs?
Let me put it like this. Last week, I was in Florida the whole week to visit my brother. And I was working in Florida, no problems. Company, it's okay with the company. And then after I was done with work, I had fun in Florida. Went to Disney World, you know, went to the beach. You know, it can't get better than that.
Man, it really can't get better than that, man. Can't literally a year ago, you literally went from having to go work on site, be on site all day, 5 days a week, to now just true freedom, to where you're able to make money, spend time with your family, visit your family, be in a beautiful place like Florida. I mean, it's honestly incredible. And yeah, man, so congratulations on that. Y'all, I should have said this earlier. Y'all, let's clap it up for him in the chat. Because again, y'all, he just got in the industry a few months ago. So literally within 2 months, got in the industry, and now he's experiencing literally the dream, what it is he paid for. And the beautiful thing is that it only gets better from here, because this is the lowest amount of money you're going to make now. So your money is only going to go up. Oh man. So I'm so happy for you, man. I love hearing stuff like this. I love hearing stuff like this. Yeah. Timeline Preacher said that's inspiring. Yeah, man. So we're hoping the same thing for the Timeline Preacher, because he's actually a pastor, and so he works on site at his church. So one of the things we were talking about is, you know, and I'm going to help him on the back end. So of course he's doing Course Careers, which is really all he needs. But as a friend, I'm going to kind of help him as well and kind of help him find some different remote opportunities. So yeah, so that way he can be able to work at his office in the church, you know, and of course, you know, be able to do his tech job as well. So that's definitely the goal. Definitely the goal. All right, good stuff. Yeah, man. So now you don't have to say your company name, but I'm curious, what does your company do exactly, like technology wise?
Yeah, so we are an AI powered revenue platform. And so, yeah, we pretty much help other sales teams understand their forecasting, understand, especially with sales, understand the sales forecasting, understand, you know, how to close more deals using AI. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Super cool. So for those that, given more context for those, giving you all the full scope of different jobs in the tech industry and how they correlate. So mostly what I've done in the tech industry has been tech sales. So as a sales engineer, my job would have been to do demos or do presentations of, like, let's say he and I work at the same company. I would have been doing demonstrations of our company's technology to other companies to help their sales team basically perform better based on the analytics and the data that our AI would offer, and basically showing them the numbers and reports and stuff. Whereas he, as a data analyst, and you can expound on this and clarify anything, but he, as a data analyst, it would be his job to actually be analyzing the data, making sure that I'm actually curious, because you're a data analyst at a data analyst company. So that's unique to me, because I know a data analyst at a other type of tech company, let's say it's a fintech company, a financial technology company, or a prop tech company, property technology for those that are in real estate, like they would analyze the data within their own company to make sure that either data to help the sales team or help the marketing team or to help a certain division. But you are a data analyst at a AI data analytics company. So what does that look like exactly?
Yeah, such a great question. And really, Really, the best way I can answer that is it's still very similar format to what you said with the other companies. Okay. Because at the end of the day, a company is a company, and every company has data that they need to leverage in order to make better decisions. Because if you don't use data to make decisions, you're pretty much leaving money on the table. Kind of same structure. Yeah.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, the tech industry, y'all, is so interesting because it's an industry where you can do a job for a company that's not based on that job, and you could do that same job for a company that's entirely based on it. So basically, his company has cybersecurity professionals there, but his company is not a cybersecurity company. His company has tech salespeople that are there, but his company is not a tech sales company. But his company is a data analytics company. They have data analysts. So it's like, that's what I think makes the tech industry so unique, that you could be at a company that's the entirety of the company, the focus of the company is based on your skill sets and knowledge, or you can leverage, and this is a cool thing I want to highlight for everybody, you can leverage your domain expertise to work at a different type of company. So like, let's say, you know, let's say, you know, you have a background as a car salesman. You could be a data analyst for what's that car company that you're able to buy the car on your phone and then go, not Canva, that's literally the that's the designing platform. It's called,
I want to say Carvana. Is it Carvana?
Yeah, Carvana. Thank you. That's why that was in my head. Carvana. So like Carvana has a lot of tech, like it is a tech company essentially. It's a tech company that fronts as a car company. And so like what makes them unique is their technology and also their process. So likewise, Carvana, y'all, has data analysts that work at Carvana. And so it's so interesting. Like that's one of the things I love about this industry, is that the opportunity and the types of jobs or companies you can be at and what you can leverage in your background is honestly so cool. So cool. And I bring that up for those of y'all that are thinking, okay, well, yeah, I want to work. Okay, yeah, I want the pay of a tech job, but I also want to leverage my background or an industry that I love. Understand, y'all can do that. So if you're a person where you're listening to Daniel's story and you're like, okay, well, being a data analyst sounds cool, like literally being able to analyze the data to help, you know, help my company or help the teams be able to make proper decisions to help us execute better. That sounds cool. But I don't want to do that for a data analyst company. Oh, I wish I could do that in real estate because I have a background in real estate. Well, yeah, there are tech companies called prop tech, like property technology, you know, or if you're a person where your background is in legal or you're really into the legal space, you know, attorneys and lawyers and judges, there's law tech, you know, where you can work in that space. You could be a data analyst in that space. So the list goes on and on. So I just want to clarify this, y'all, to understand that everyone is passionate about a certain industry. The issue is that we confuse ourselves to think that, oh, if I work in tech, I can no longer work in that industry. That's not true. I know people that work for the Toronto Raptors, but they work in tech. I've interviewed somebody before that literally works for NASA. I've interviewed somebody that works for Disney. I've interviewed somebody that works for Netflix, and all of them are doing tech. They're like doing something tech-wise. That's really cool. Actually, I did a street interview with a girl who's a data analyst before. She is a data analyst for Netflix. Y'all listen to this. This is gonna sound crazy. Her job as a data analyst for Netflix, she actually is one of the decision makers behind certain shows that get canceled or don't get canceled. Not because of, you know, how good the show supposedly is, not because it has a niche fan base, not because of any factors other than they look at the data and the analytics and all that, and then they make informed decisions. And they tell producers, even though she makes about a couple hundred thousand a year, she's telling producers that make 20 million a year, she's telling them, yep, we're cutting your show, or we're cutting, you know, your thing, because based on the data. So she's able to make major decisions. So it's so interesting. The data analytics space is such a cool space, honestly. Man. So I love it. So I'll ask you this last question, and then we're going to pivot over to everybody else's questions in the comments. So everybody that has questions, make sure y'all start dropping your questions now. Again, for those of y'all that are on Instagram, you're going to click the drop down above my head, and then you'll post your question in that designated question area. For those of you who are on LinkedIn and YouTube, you can just put your questions in the question section.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
For those of y'all that are listening to this after the fact, if you are on any audio streaming platforms, I encourage you to come over to the YouTube, Technically Black on YouTube, and join in, ask your questions in the comment section of the YouTube video, and myself and the team will be able to jump in and be able to engage with you in the question section. That being said, if you got to speak to yourself a year ago, and like when you first started thinking about getting in tech, what is a word of encouragement you would give yourself, and what is a word of advice that you would give yourself?
If I went back a year?
Well, not necessarily a year ago, but let's say whenever the moment was you first started thinking about changing your mm-hmm. career.
Mm-hmm. What is a piece of advice I'd give myself, essentially?
Yeah.
I just tell myself, even though people say it's hard and it's difficult, I say just go for it. That's
yeah.
it. You know, that's it. And make the necessary investment you need to make, you know, which was the boot camp at the end of the day.
You know? That's so fire. Good stuff. So let's go ahead and get to everybody else's question. I'm trying to adjust my phone for those of you on Instagram. So let's go ahead and get over to everybody's questions. So I'm going to prioritize questions that were pre-submitted earlier. We got some questions that was pre-submitted, and let's go ahead and look at these. All right. So, these are some interesting questions, actually. So do you know anybody who job stacks in the data analyst space?
Job stacks? I did have a friend who I knew for a couple of years that he did JobStack. And pretty much the only way that's possible is if you do contract roles. So in data analyst, you have full-time roles and then you have contract roles. You can stack contract roles, but you don't want to stack a full-time role.
Yeah. Basically, ethical job stacking versus unethical job stacking. Yeah. Okay, cool. I was just curious. Yeah, because one of the questions someone asked, and this was earlier, this is before they even knew they were going to be talking to a data analyst. So the question doesn't necessarily relate. So I'll blast through these first few questions, then we're going to get to some questions that more so apply to you. So someone said, I have a great and easy remote tech job paying $200K, but I'm now looking to job stack trying. So I guess they want some advice to job stack. I would say I have a video on YouTube where I go over job stacking and tips when it comes to job stacking. So I would say go on the YouTube channel. I did it probably about a month or 2 months ago. So you can just scroll through and you'll be able to find it. Should I job stack with AE roles? Y'all really think about job stacking a lot. Should I job stack with account executive roles? No, I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it because it's diminishing returns. Because in tech sales, so if you're going to job stack, it's better to do it in a role like data analytics or DevOps or QA, not tech sales, because their jobs are more task-based or sprint-based. It's like they're given assignments, tasks, duties, deadlines. In tech sales, your job is meeting-based. It's customer serving, customer-facing. You're constantly in meetings with different customers and clients. That's how you make money and make the company money. So you only have so many hours in the day. You taking on another company, you have a limited calendar. Like, how many more meetings can you do if you take another job with another company? And so, yeah, you'll make more money because you're base, but technically you're going to underperform at both companies or one company. So now your commission is hurting, which is really where your money comes from. So it just, again, it's diminishing returns. If you want a job stack, I always encourage you, if you really want a job stack, you're going to need to switch over to a non-customer facing role, like a data analyst, like what it is he's doing. And again, I want to be clear, even I'm not saying it's going to be easy, even if you switch over to a data analyst role to job stack. I'm just saying it is easier. It's not as hard. It's not as hard. And also, you're not going to hurt your money, because then you actually can, you know, have like your set pay for each company. All right, last thing. Okay, this is the last question I'm going to look at that doesn't relate to Daniel. So also, a few people are asking about the funding. How does somebody go about no funding, early stage funding? Oh, you're talking about starting a business. Okay, that's a whole another segment talking about getting funding. But somebody else asked about, how do I hop on the train to get a business loan to scale? Yeah, so for everybody who wants funding, for those of y'all that don't know, Tech is New Black, we partner with a funding company where they're offering between $50,000 to up to $200,000 in funding. Gracias. And literally now you have certain qualifications. You know, you have to have a credit score has to be at least about a 680. You have to have a certain utilization, certain factors you have to check off. If you're a person that does want funding, and it's very fast, like literally the money will be in your bank account in like roughly 2 days. And I've already interviewed people on my channel who've gotten funding as well. But yeah, if you're interested in funding, if you are on YouTube and LinkedIn or listening on any audio streaming podcast or platform, you're just going to click the link in the description. You're going to go to the link in the description and you'll see a link that's there that is specific for funding. If you are on Instagram, you just need to comment AI funding. So AI, like artificial intelligence, AI funding on Instagram, and the automations are going to send you the link for the funding. And again, as long as you qualify, you're going to get funding really fast. And if you do it through your business, you usually get more money. So if it's personal funding, you're usually going to get somewhere between about 50 to 80K. If it's through your business, that's where you're usually going to get closer to 100K to even up to like 250K. So just a little insight for those of y'all on that. Make sure y'all do jump on that. And the cool thing about the funding, there's no cost. There's no upfront cost. It's literally there's a brokerage fee after the money's in your bank account. So there's no risk or anything like that. How can you get into a data analyst bootcamp? Hey, you're in the right place. Click the link in the description. So Latoya, underneath the video that you're watching, there's a description. If you go under there, you'll just read in there. You'll see that there's a discount link to the exact same program he did to just get in the industry as a data analyst. That being said, let's go ahead and get to some questions that I believe relate more to Daniel. Y'all asking a whole bunch of questions don't have anything to do with Okay, cool. Good question. All right, here we go. All right. So we got a question from the chat. Someone says, what is the day in the life of a data analyst? So what is the day in the life of a data analyst?
Yeah. So it's really different. Every day's a different day. But a typical day is, you know, you start off, you know, checking emails, you know, messaging people that you need to message, replying to any emails. Then after that, you pretty much meet with your stakeholders. So they're pretty much people who work in other departments, whether it's marketing, sales, product. You meet with those people, understand what kind of needs they need in terms of data to help them make better decisions. And then pretty much the rest of the day is working on those tasks to help them make those decisions and give them data visibility.
When you started, I'm curious, when you started working at your company, how long did it take you before you felt like very confident about your job?
I would say 3 weeks. 3 weeks in, you know, you get a grasp of where everything's at. Every company's different in terms of their tech stack. So once you're familiar with their tech stack, then you know, you're good from there.
All right, someone asked, does completing a boot camp provide enough experience to get into a data analyst role, or is there more experience or certifications required? So what would you say to that?
It depends on the boot camp, for sure. But short answer is yes. That's actually crazy. With a lot of these, especially the one that I did, you don't need any experience, or you don't even need a degree. Yeah. You know, just learning the skills and then following it through. Like, you're good from there.
Yeah. Exactly. So y'all heard it here first. You do not need it. I've said this 1,000 times, but I love to interview other people who just got in the industry as well, where they can tell you the same stuff I've said a bunch of times. You do not need to go into immense debt, college debt, and waste 4 years of your life. Imagine you go to college to be a data analyst and you spend 2 to 4 years to go in a lot of debt. And then this guy, Daniel, he does a roughly a 1 month program, and 2 months later gets the job. He does it in 3 months, and you still have another three years and 9 months to go before you even start interviewing for your first job. Like, do y'all see like why it's so let me paint a picture, y'all. Let me paint a picture to y'all. Tech is the new black. Tech is the New Black is the largest, and I'm blessed to say this, and it's because of y'all. Tech is the New Black is the largest tech career podcast in the world. We've helped thousands of people get in the tech industry. I have scaled to over $500,000 $500,000 a year. And I want to be very clear. If I went to college, I want y'all to hear this. If I went to college to get in tech, instead of doing a boot camp, I would have just graduated last month. So in the last 4 years, all of a sudden, like, we're talking no Tech is New Black platform. We're talking, I'm not working in tech yet. I just graduated college. We're talking, okay, now I'm in $20,000+ in debt. It's like, that's why it's just a no-brainer. It's like, I literally would have just been graduating and would still not even be working in tech yet if I went the college route, versus I did a program, took me a month, 2 months later, got my job in the industry. And now I've been in the industry 4 years. I've had 4 years of compounding. So y'all, yeah, please, y'all, do not, I said it time and time again, please do not go to college to get in tech, especially now because the industry is changing so fast. It's like, that's one of the things I love about your program, Daniel, what you did. Like, I know the founder of the program you did. I've hung out with him a couple times. I hung out with him in Florida, met up with him in Georgia when he used to live in Georgia. I recently saw him probably about 4 or 5 months ago in Mexico. It was my second time seeing him in Mexico. Got to hang out with him there. And one of the things about their program, they're constantly updating the program in a way where college can't do that. Like, a college professor, he's one person. One person. Maybe he has an assistant. Versus an actual boot camp that hyper-focuses on the few courses that it offers. And it's like, they're able to make they're able to make updates in the midst of the program, like on the fly. They're able to make updates based on the industry. College, university, college professor, not only can they not do that, they don't really even care to do that because it doesn't benefit them in any kind of way to do that. And so I love it. I love it. So let's go ahead and get back to other questions. All right, let's look in the YouTube and LinkedIn. All right, so I got a question from Desi in the chat. She says, in your interview, did they ask you a lot of technical questions in reference to SQL or Python?
Yes, more SQL or SQL. But the cool thing is, the course teaches you everything. Like the interview, like I mentioned earlier, the interview was so easy because, like I said, the instructors are in the industry. They know what questions are going to be asked. And so even for technical questions like that, you'll be prepared. So, yeah.
Yeah. I love to hear that. Love to hear that. Good question, Desi. All right, let's look in the chat, see what y'all talking about. Somebody said job stacking is fraud. Not really. I mean, if it's fraud, you can go to prison for it. I've never seen anybody go to prison for job stacking. So, no, it's not fraud. You can say it's unethical, like if your company doesn't know about it, but not fraud. Yeah. So the timeline preacher, he didn't say specifically how much he makes because I didn't ask him. I used to ask my first year when I was doing these, I used to ask everybody specifically, how much do you make? But I'm on average, everybody I interview, entry level, everyone I interview, whether it's tech sales, whether it's data analyst, whatever it is, everyone I interview on average starts off between about 75,000 to about 115,000. So that's a pretty broad range. But like he mentions that the average entry level starts off somewhere between 80K and about 100K. So you could probably do the math and assume he's probably somewhere in that range. But the more important thing isn't really how much he makes. The more important thing is to look at the market and see how much the market is paying for something. Because he could be making $140,000 for his first entry level role, or he could be making $50,000 for his first entry-level role. Either number is irrelevant to what it is for all of us individually. So really the main thing is the market. But again, just to kind of bring it back, you know, he mentioned entry-level 80K to about 100K. Cyrus, I'm 18, trying to dip my feet in tech. I'm going to college, but I'm not paying because I'm an athlete. I want to get into GRC, and I think I need to get into boot camps as well. So if you're in college for GRC and it's free because of your athlete, yo, do it. If it's free, it's free. You know, I would say focus on networking while in college. Like, make that your purpose, to build a strong network, specifically a strong network of winners. Don't network with a bunch of losers. When you're in college, network with people that are crushing it. Network with people that are idealists, that are, you know, they seem very promising. And focus on the networking aspect. Because career-wise, you know, you're already in college. It is what it is. You don't have to pay for it. So at that point, I can't say anything really negative about it. The only thing is that, yeah, it's going to take you longer. But again, it is what it is. You're already in there. So no negative statements on that. All right. I don't think I see. All right, we'll do a couple more questions to y'all, then we're going to go ahead and wrap up. I'm going to give Daniel his time back. Yes, I am Wilson. That's what we're talking about. Yeah, just comment, I am Wilson, or everybody here on Instagram, just comment, get me in tech, because he's asking, like, what program you did. Yeah, y'all. So for those of y'all that are interested in the program he did and you want a discount to the program, if you're on Instagram, say this, probably going to be the last one to say this, just comment, get me in tech, and the automations will send you the link, and it'll send you a couple options, whether you want to do tech sales or data analytic, be a data analyst, or if you are in or if you are on YouTube, and if you're anywhere else aside from Instagram, go to the description and you'll see the link that's in the description. Shamrock asks, is being in Canada a viable market? What are your thoughts on that, Daniel?
Yeah, I would say definitely Canada, United States. Yeah, those are really good markets for sure.
Yeah, one thing I would add to that is it doesn't matter very much that you're in Canada because you can get a tech job in at an American company. Mm-hmm. So don't think about what country is the best market. Think about, is the job you're looking to do in tech a good market, like data analyst? Because you could, I've interviewed several people, Shamrock, who live in Canada that work for American tech companies. I've interviewed at least about 6 or 7 people. And I just interviewed somebody, I think 2 weeks ago, who's in Canada. And so you can definitely be in Canada and work in the American tech company. All right, Cameron Banks asks, were you only applying to data analyst roles? And if so, were they just entry level or mid level as well?
That's actually a great question. So when I took the course, it was only after I took the bootcamp, it was just data analytics course. And it was actually, I applied to both mid level and entry level. So yeah, both.
So smart. Can you explain to everybody, even though you didn't have experience yet, why you were not just applying to entry level, but you also were applying to mid level?
Yeah. And so that's a great question. And so the bootcamp actually explains this, but pretty much, a lot of companies, they'll say they want someone, you know, with 5 years of experience, you know, really it's just them being lazy. At the end of the day, they just want someone that they can trust the job. And so me, like going into it, especially doing the bootcamp, I know that I was prepared for the job despite my experience. So that's what gave me the confidence to apply to all kinds of roles. Yeah. Entry level. Yeah,
exactly. I say this often. Tech companies are like, y'all know when people are single and they're listing their qualifications. They're like, oh, the next person I date, they have to be like this. They have to have this. They have to treat me like this. It's like they sound perfect. It's like, where are you going to find this person at? And then you see the next person they date and they're not even half of what the person was claiming. Like, oh, I'm not settling. I'm going to get this. Tech companies, y'all are just like that. Specifically, I don't want to say tech companies. Let me say HR teams and recruiters are like that. Like they put these listings and these postings of what the job is and the requirements. And half that stuff don't even matter half the time. It really doesn't. So just like Daniel said, y'all, like when y'all finish a bootcamp, you know, if y'all do the program he did, yeah, they're going to teach you to apply to both entry level and mid level roles. And I mean, if you do our program, I mean, you have job placement assistants. So our actual recruiters that are doing the internal referrals for you, they're going to direct you towards what to be applying for. And likewise, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be the same thing. So that's hilarious. Hilarious. I love it. All right, y'all. So that is about it. So look, y'all, thank y'all for everybody who tuned in. Again, for those of y'all who are interested in getting in the tech industry, let me know. Let me know for those of you who do the boot camp and you get, like, for all of you that get your job in tech after doing the boot camp, message me. Let me know when y'all are getting in tech so we can bring you on for you to share your tech testimony. You know, let us know and let us know that it was this interview with Daniel that inspired you and that basically helped send you on the new trajectory so we could thank Daniel. Y'all make sure that y'all tap in with Daniel on LinkedIn, you know, connect with him, all of that good stuff. You know, don't like badger him with 1,000 questions and stuff. But, you know, nevertheless, connect with them, you know, follow them, keep up with them, all that good stuff. And aside from that, again, everybody on Instagram, if you are looking to get funding, if you're looking to get funding for up to roughly $150,000, just comment AI funding. If you are on LinkedIn, YouTube, basically anywhere else, you'll just click the link in the description And likewise, the link in the description will also have the links, the discount link to the boot camp that he did. It'll have an option for a data analyst. But again, for those of you who are on Instagram, you just need to comment, "Get me in tech." And the automation is going to send the discount link to the boot camp he did. It'll have option for both data analysts or for tech sales if you want to work in tech sales instead. Aside from that, y'all, I love y'all. Y'all have a blessed and beautiful evening. Thank y'all for being here. Daniel, appreciate you again, man. And again, bro, congratulations. Major congrats.
Yeah, thank you. It was a fun.
Yeah, man. All right, y'all. Y'all be blessed.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.